Welcome to the Millennial Joe podcast, where we discuss all things grief, trauma, loss, joy, victory, and healing. And in today's episode, we are talking about the loss of joy, or in other words, depression. I know, the big D word that we keep hearing that is like very big. It's like a buzzword now these days. But growing up, that D word was reserved for a specific type of people. It was never reserved for people who looked like me. Depression just wasn't a thing. I was always told to just pray it away. And looking back, I probably was depressed a lot sooner than I realized I was depressed because of the circumstances that I grew up with, and how I was told to deal with it. But now I realize that depression is real, having faced it. There are so many people who look like me who go through the same things. And I'm so happy that Gen Z has made it popular to focus on mental health, because it's the conversation that we should have been having a very long time ago. And I'm so happy to have that conversation with my good sis Shakira. And it's going to be an absolutely amazing episode today.
Okay, so before I start every episode, I like to give a trigger warning. We will be discussing topics that are dealing with loss. I am very clear that I am very detailed in the way that I speak, in the way that I tell stories. So there may be some things that we talk about that will be triggering for you. This is your trigger warning.
So in looking back, I realized that my depression truly started when I attended my good friend's baby shower. And I'm so happy I already had this conversation with her, and it's not like this is being broadcasted for the public. But that event really was the catalyst to me going down, because her and her husband got married the same year that me and my husband got married. And you know, having lost my husband, having lost my baby, and then being at her baby shower, and the timelines not matching up for me in my head, so much came up to where I was happy for them, but on the inside, I was really breaking down. And I didn't realize that that was the catalyst until months after I went through the depression. But in looking back, I realized because of those feelings, on top of everything that I had been through before that, and then a month later finding out that, hey, you have this scare, you have this lump in your breast, you may have breast cancer. Like, that time period, September, October, November of 2020, was very dark. And it was in that time that a lot of things started changing for me.
You know, I shared on the last episode that things were just compiling back to back to back to back. And because I was going through so much, I really had no real way of processing it all. And it got very dark very quickly. Like, knowing everything that was happening, knowing that I could have breast cancer, I wasn't yet diagnosed. It just felt like there was a ton of bricks that hit me. And I just don't even know. Looking back, I don't even know how I allowed it to get to that point, but I was deep, deep to the point where no one around me knew that I was depressed, but I wasn't doing laundry. I think like 7.5 months went by before I did any laundry. My room was a mess. I think I had like a pathway from my bed to my door that allowed me to get out the room, but everything else was like trashed. I slept most of the day and I worked overnight, so it was perfect. So I slept all day. I got up, went to work at night, came home, slept some more. Self-medicated a lot, using marijuana. And it was just a very deep and dark time. And at the time, I knew that I was deep and I was dark, but I also didn't know how to get out. Like, I felt myself drowning, but I also didn't know how to come above water. And it was in that moment that I understood why people commit suicide. I knew that of all of the options that I had, suicide was never an option for me, but I was able to experience why people did do it. And I don't wish being that dark on anyone, because it wasn't a fun time in my life. I was very reactive. I was very short with people. My attitude was crazy. I've always had like a smart mouth, but it got bad. It got very bad. I was losing friendships, you know, it was a lot going on, and I'm grateful for the people who stayed and stuck through it all with me while I was going through, because it wasn't a fun time in my life, and I was able to see myself in a way that I didn't want myself to be seen ever again. So what do you do when you realize that you're depressed and you know you need to get out of it, but you don't know what to do, right? I read a whole bunch of resources. I did so much online, and everything was like theoretical. It was like someday, like you'll be better when. And it was like, what can I do now? And you know, it's pandemic time. And you know, TikTok was like the big craze. So I'm like, what if I make a TikTok every day for 90 days? I'm like, you know, after 90 days, you create a habit. And if I do a TikTok, I'm gonna have to get presentable. I'm gonna have to learn the TikTok. I'm gonna make sure it looks good. I'm gonna have to actually get up, get washed, get dressed so that I can post. So let me make a TikTok every day for 90 days. And in doing that, I started to change. I started to grow. People started noticing that I was changing and growing. And after the first 90 days, all of my social media was like, you got to keep going. So I was like, okay, I'll do 180 days. And then I got to 180 days, and they were like, you're going to do 6 months, and then what? So I was like, all right, let's do a whole year. So I ended up completing 365 days of TikTok on November 16th, 2022. It was a great feeling. Sorry, November 16th, 2021. I don't know why my timelines are all messed up, but it was the most amazing feeling ever. The beauty about TikTok is that I connected with so many people during my journey, because during that 365 days that I was doing the TikTok, I not only went through all of my breast cancer appointments, but I had a double mastectomy. I also had implant swap removal. And there's still to this day women who watch my recovery videos who are like, you make it possible for me to believe that I can make it through this surgery. And that literally lights me up every single time I get a message, every single time I get a DM. I met one of my really good friends because of my TikToks. She joined my team. She's one of my business partners now. And it's crazy to think that at one point in time, I did life without her, because now she's such a huge part of my life. And I would have never found her if I never went on that journey to make those TikToks. So I think that, you know, finding something that you love to do, something that's going to light you up, something that's going to get you moving to move your body is really what helps when you're facing depression, because staying stagnant and staying stuck will really have you staying stagnant and staying stuck. So, Shakira, I'm so excited to have you here. Welcome to the call, girl. How are you doing?
I am doing amazing. I'm doing amazing. Life has been lifing. Like, life has been lifing, but in good ways. Good ways, you know?
Tell me about it. I mean, if life was life and was a person, I would be that person. But tell us a little bit about you. We just want to get to know you, and then we'll hop right into your story.
Oh, where do I start? So let's start with the good news. I'm divorced. I'm divorced. It's been a long journey. I have been going through this since 2019. So through COVID, through growing pains, through weight loss, I am finally done. And it feels amazing.
Girl, I can only imagine how amazing it feels. Like, first of all, congratulations on it all. And people are going to get to hear your story a little bit more to see why this is so, like, imperative, but the fact that we're recording post-divorce is like absolutely amazing for me.
Let's see, where do I even start? I'm a mom to a 7-year-old, stepmom to a 7-year-old, daughter, girlfriend, ex-wife, enemy, friend. I'm that person to depending on who you ask, they're gonna be like, oh her. Or some people like, oh her. I've been through a lot, so I understand that loss of joy. I understand it from childhood and not realizing that maybe back then I had a problem and didn't know it. And when I expressed it, it was like, girl, stop acting like a white girl. Let's just keep it real. Stop acting like a white girl. It wasn't a white girl issue. It was a us issue. You know, you see things in your household, you feel unwanted from certain people, parents, not necessarily like my mother, but that father figure.
Family favoritism is real, girl. I'm gonna let you finish, but family favoritism is real.
Really real. And you don't realize it until you become an adult. Like, I think my pivotal moment was last year, and I was like, oh snap, like this thing that you've been yearning and you've been wanting all your life, you don't need it. And you're good. Like, you are good without it. So, let's see. I am the only child to my mother, but I am the first child to my biological father who has 8 children. And then there's me. So, I need you to take a minute, take that in. Like, 8, and then there's me. And growing up, I was like, I didn't want it being the brown girl, the fat girl, the I felt like, well, if I can't get it there, then I'll find it somewhere else.
You're not done with the story, but I really just want to say thank you for being so vulnerable, so far and sharing what you shared because, there's somebody that's going to be listening to this that's going to resonate with every single part of this, and I think that it's so important that you started off with childhood because people don't realize that we get to these points in our adulthood based on decisions that we've made as children, and those experiences then shape us, and then we grow. Still never really healing those things and then carrying that into our future selves. So I just really wanted to thank you so far and for what you're getting ready to share because it's very powerful and
I appreciate you. I don't know if you even realize how many people you touch. So I just want to say thank you because your openness, it makes me be like, you know what, it's okay to share my story. So I thank you for that. Like I said, childhood was interesting. Growing up, you know, you got the fly girls and all of that. And I was labeled as the mean girl. I was labeled as mean. When in reality I wasn't mean, I was shielding myself. I was shielding myself because in early adolescence I was bullied. I moved from township to township and my mother was young. She was doing what she had to do to raise me. And I was the brown girl who matched all the time. Then I was the overweight girl. Then I was the mean girl. So those things stick to you and people don't realize that. And as women, we don't realize that we carry that. we don't realize that we carry that along with us through our adolescence. We get to our teenage years, then we get to our early adult years, and those things stick. And you start to look for places to fit in, not realizing that you don't need to fit in with nobody else because you are you. If I had to go back and tell my old self things, I'd be like, girl, don't marry that man. Don't give up on that degree. Stop letting these people make you feel like you have to do these things for them in order for them to stick around and be your friend because you have people that genuinely want to be around you. I will fast forward to getting married. finding love. Now, I'm not against it. Like I said, I'm freshly divorced, but I'm not against marriage. And a lot of times people have this misconception that, oh, you're divorced, oh, you just don't want to be with no man, or you don't want to get married again. That's not the case. Everybody yearns for companionship. I think that we look for companionship in the wrong person at a young age. I was 25, going on 26, and he was the flower giver. He was the door opener. He was the nice guy. And I was like, dang, well, ain't nobody else going to be with me, because, again, that mindset that I would push that depression in the back of my mind, those little things that would send me to that dark space, I would push that back. But I was like, dang, well, he loved me. Ain't nobody else going to do it. So I got married. I moved away. I moved from New Jersey to North Carolina because I'm going to be with my man. And I gained almost 100 pounds when I moved away. I was drinking wine, warming wine up, depressed. He calling my mother, talking about she crying. I don't know what to do with her. My mother calling me, talking about, girl, get your life together. You got your husband losing his mind. And I was constantly sad. Like, constantly sad, and I didn't know why. And it was because I wasn't where I was supposed to be.
Wow.
Depression made me grow. But I want other women to know, and other men, because I'm sure that there's men listening too, but I want women to know that it doesn't go away and you can't heal yourself. You need a village. You need a doctor. You need somebody to talk to, and just reach out to somebody. This doesn't feel right. I had a moment, my mother called me one time. She said, what's wrong with you? And I just broke down crying. She said, girl, meet me at the bar. I said, okay, I'm on my way. She said, what's wrong? I said, I don't know. I was having panic attacks. And panic attacks directly correlate to having some sort of depression as well. People don't realize it. Some people have panic attacks. That's just what they just have them. Other people have panic attacks because of depression. I was that person sitting in the middle of the floor, boohoo crying, can't breathe, don't know what's wrong with me, going for a ride, can't get out the car, can't go in the store. What's wrong with you? You gotta get yourself together. And I thought that I did. Started jogging, lost weight, lost 114 pounds. I'm good. What? You can't tell me nothing. Well, reality was I wasn't. I wasn't good. I still was masking all of that and hiding all of that to say, look, I did it, y'all. I did it. I left the man that wasn't really treating me right. He was treating me that way because he needed to feel good about himself. And I lost the weight and my kid is thriving and I got a new relationship. Look at me. I'm thriving. No, I'm not. I hate my job. I'm not getting paid enough. My kid is driving me crazy. I'm stuck in this house. It's 2020. We ain't got nowhere to go. And now all I have are my thoughts. Now all you have is facing everything you've been running from.
Them thoughts will get you. Girl.
As the old people say, the devil on your back. And he is. It's literally an attack. It's a warfare against you and yourself. No one else, because no one else is in your head. You are. So it's you. You feel like everyone is attacking you. So you start yelling at everybody. Everybody's got a problem. You walk through the door, you screaming at everybody. And I didn't realize I was doing it. So one day my boyfriend was like, yo. We're not doing anything to you. You come in the house, you screaming at all of us. And I'm like, nobody does anything. So I had to sit with that. And you find yourself being like, you know what? My bad. I'm sorry. I'm gonna go back to therapy. And I'll be honest, I didn't because again, I was like, I don't have time for that. And I can heal myself. You learn to start to pour into yourself. The pandemic is where I learned that. The pandemic is where I learned to pour into myself.
Wow, that was such a powerful story. I love so much that you got back to what makes you happy because literally that's the only thing that is going to help us when we feel like we're in those spaces. I always tell people that depression doesn't necessarily go away because there are times when you can find yourself in a depressive episode. But I like to call it a depressive episode because episodes start and end. They never last forever. They won't be there all the time. And in, finding ways to help myself cope, little things like that, I've come across so many tips that allowed me to combat when those episodes happen. So I want to ask you, what are your three tips that you've taken on when you feel like, you may be going into a depressive episode or you have those thoughts about the past when you were in that space?
So, tip number one would be learn to be gentle with yourself. We are our hardest critics, so you have to learn to be gentle with yourself, even if it's standing in the mirror, looking in that mirror, and finding two things. One thing that you absolutely admire about yourself, like, girl, that's it. Like, your eyes, your smile, your nose. Your gray hairs in the front, because I got some of those. Find something. I love that about me. Talk to yourself. Lock that bathroom door, look in that mirror, and talk to yourself.
I always tell people that you have to talk to yourself instead of listening to yourself. Because when you listen to yourself, negative is natural. You're going to hear, I don't like this. This ain't right about me. I need to change this, all this stuff. When you just listen to yourself. But when you talk to yourself, you combat all of that. Like, no, I love this about me. I admire this about me. I think this is amazing. I think I'm perfect here. And I love that you said that because I always tell people, don't listen to yourself, talk to yourself. So that's an awesome tip. All right, keep going, keep going.
You have to remember to lean on other people and give out what you want to give in. Like I could go on. I could go on and on. Pour into yourself. Don't feel like other people have to pour into you because they're not going to the way you have to pour into yourself. And I think that's it. Love on yourself, girl. In 2023, that's all we doing. We loving on ourselves. That's it.
Listen, I keep saying in 2023 is all about me. So that is in total alignment. We loving on ourselves. We going after whatever it is that we say we want and we need. And I'm just like so excited for where we're both getting ready to go now that we have the awareness that we have and that we've grown through what we've grown through. Because like I always say, we're gonna touch so many people with this message and tell people that it's okay to not be okay. And here's some things that you can do to get yourself out of it. Some practical things, some actual things, some things you can do right now that's gonna help you. And it may look different for each and every one of you because you're unique, but just tap into the things that you like, the things you love, the things that make you happy. And I guarantee that once you get back to that, you'll find your way back to the light. And we just pray that, you make it out on the other side because you matter, you're important, and we love you. We have reached the point of the episode where we are at our 2-minute mouthful, and that is where I get to answer a question submitted by the fans in 2 minutes or less to give practical, actual tips on how to combat grief, loss, and trauma. So today's question is, How do you navigate your own grief when someone close to you is experiencing grief for themselves? Whew, okay. So I actually have experience with this, and you show up the best way that you can when you can. And it's very easy for you to feel bad about the capacity that you could show up. But the truth is, if you don't have the capacity, you don't have the capacity. And you know, we go through things in life, especially loss, we expect the people who are closest to us to be there. But we also have to realize that the people closest to us may not always be qualified to be that person that we need them to be. And I know I've experienced it, expecting certain people to be there for me that weren't there. I know other people have experienced it, expecting me to be there in a bigger capacity than I was there. And the truth of the matter is, only those who are qualified to be there for you are qualified to be there for you. And making other people wrong for not being qualified to be there for you only does a few things, like tarnish relationships, put a strain on things, cause more stress to yourself, have you feeling even worse than you were feeling before. And again, like the theme of this episode, it's okay not to be okay. It's okay not to be 100% for other people when you're still grieving for yourself. But on the days that you're having good days, reach out, send a text, drop by, you know, do what you can to make people know that you are still there, you do appreciate them, you do love them, and that you do have their back. And that's literally all they can ask for. Whew! I did it. 2 minutes or less. Thank you so much, Shakira, for being on the call. Thank you so much for sharing yourself so freely. Thank you so much for taking this journey with me and just being a part of this. And I'm really excited for where this goes.
Until next time on the Millennial Joe Podcast.